All right, turn your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. Nowadays, it's not easy to find people who are loyal to their job and loyal to spouse and so on. That is why the divorce is so rampant, and that's why the people change their jobs so often. Even 20 years ago, it was not unusual for us to find the people who've been married 20 years, 30 years. Nowadays, if the newlywed, if they've been married more than a month, they should celebrate for the longevity. I remember one of the former co-workers of mine, he used to change his job so often. I've known that fact because he told me that he never stayed in the same job more than 2 years. If I was human resource manager, I would never hire that guy because you never know how much you have to invest that man and as an employee, and soon he's going to be gone again. Average length of CEOs, chief executive officers in corporate America, their length time, the time they stay in the same place is average less than 3 years. It is no wonder that the company is suffering. They jack up their profit margin by removing the bottom line employees, all those who've been in the company for a long time, and just get rid of them. And they, now you have a profit margin because you have a less expense. And they jump out with a golden parachute and go to the next company. The only thing they care about is pretty much themselves. It is just plain hard to find the loyalty from people. But the Lord our God expects us to be loyal to Him, to His Word, and to the fellow believers of Jesus Christ. Not only to Him, to His Word, and to the fellow believers of Jesus Christ. This morning we are going to find ourselves eavesdropping on Apostle Paul, who is giving instruction to his spiritual son Timothy about being loyal. Being loyal. I find a couple of things, but let's start with the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we are living in a day, the world, where they push us and demand us to compromise what we believe with the ungodly things that would displease You. Let our heart be strong, hold fast in Your Word and the truth. Heavenly Father, we pray for the President Obama. You willing, You stopped his health care that allows tax-funded abortion. It's not about the woman's right, it's about the baby's lives. And we pray for the lives of our troops around the world, especially lifting up one in Afghanistan and as well as Iraq, wherever they are in harm's way. We're asking You to protect them, and You willing, You bring them back as a victors of these two wars, and then bring them back to their home and to their families. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel, Border Patrol, sheriff deputies, and police officers around these communities, and the firefighters in the wildfire as well as in rural metro. And we're asking You to protect them as they protect our lives and properties. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting at the verse 13, please. I'm going to ask you to kind of underline, highlight, however you want to do it in your Bible. Note several verses in verse 13 and 14. Hold fast. Would you mark that, underline? Hold fast. The pattern, underline that again. And the sound words, which you have heard from Me. And note that there is four words, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 14, you're going to underline a couple of them. That good things which was committed to you, and then kept by the Holy Spirit who dwelt in us. I know it's kind of dissecting, but it is very important for us to understand small portion at a time. Hold fast. The word hold fast, the Greek word for hold fast is echo. It's not echo, it's echo. It has a deep meaning of to hold oneself to a thing, or lay hold of things, or adhere, or cling to. In our term, it would be stick with it. Don't just jump off the ship. Stick with it. Throughout the centuries, God's work has been done by the man and woman who stood steadfast in hours of trial. It would have been convenient for them if they just bailed out. But they knew the truth, and they stood firm. In other words, they were not fly-by-night people. You know what the fly-by-night is? Some people who talk about how strong they are, how wonderful they are as a Christian, and then when the time of the trial comes, you cannot find them because they cannot handle it. As God has given the deposit of spiritual truth to Paul, who in turn has given to Timothy, we have the truth of God, how to live, how to tell others about Jesus Christ. It is our solemn responsibility to hold fast and guard the precious deposit of a Christian truth and pass to others. We not only have to hold on to what we know, but we have to pass that information to our next generation. By the way, the recent survey, the Pew Research Group, is a research group, they found out that among even Christians, 57% of a new generation don't think that homosexuality is wrong. 57%. Let me make it very clear to you. According to my Bible, according to the Bible on your labs, homosexuality is abomination to God. And you may say, well, that's so outdated. That's so American-like, like Nancy Pelosi would say. I don't care who says what God says matters to me. And it should matter to you. Let's take a look at the word, next word, pattern. The word pattern means outline, sketch, example, in proof and summary, exposition. In other words, we ought to hold fast to what is given to us, not creating our own opinions, not of our own opinions that would go against the truth. So when the people says, I know what Bible says, and then what do they say? But. That all of a sudden goes to the extra category way in the back. It's a second opinion. Book of a second opinion. So don't even go there, okay? I know what Bible says. That's the end of it. Our opinion doesn't mean anything. God never asked for our opinion. God never has called complaint department. He doesn't even have a suggestion box. So make it clearly known to yourself. God is not asking for your opinion or suggestion. Just believe what God says. It takes a special man and woman to study and to truly hold fast the pattern of a sound doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes someone who is not tossed around at every wind of doctrine and by the trick of a man. I know a person who would believe just about anything that comes out from some misguided TV evangelist's mouth. If they said, well, nine persons in Trinity. Do you know who said that? Benny Hinn. Yeah. It's recorded. There's nine persons in Trinity. And guess what? That person said, oh, yeah, it is. And somebody asked, Hank Hanegraaff asked him, where'd you get the nine persons in Trinity? I'd have heard it from somebody. Really? Did you find it in the Bible? Uh-uh. Folks, the people who believe everything come out from the other Bible teachers or whoever they are, if you believe everything they said, then you have a serious problem. Okay? What do you think I asked you to carry a Bible, open the Bible, and learn the books of the Bible, and memorize the scripture verses? Because don't trust me, but trust this thing. Okay? I can lie to you. Everybody can lie to you. Let every man lie, be a liar, but the word of God is true, Jesus said. Put your heart in here. Bank on this. There's nothing else you can trust other than the word of God. This does not happen among the Christian believers in general, not only happen to the Christian believers in general, but also happen to the Bible teachers and pastors. Many pastors are often evaluated by the people's unbiblical measurement, such as, well, he's so funny. Well, if you're looking for a Sunday morning stand-up comic, don't come here. You can watch the Comedy Central channel. Probably you can get a better laugh. Church is not for the comic place. Yes, we have a good sense. We can have a good sense of humor. We have got to have a good sense of humor because God made us. God made you. He has to have a good sense of humor. Nothing wrong with a good sense of humor. But if that's the only thing you're looking for, you're coming into the wrong place. We come to a church to hear the word of God, to the truth of God. You cannot measure the pastor or the church by how big that church is, how many programs that church has. But ask yourself, ask that pastor, does my pastor teach the word of God and sound doctrine? If he does, you go listen to him. If he doesn't, you get out of there. All right, third thing, the sound words. I asked you to underline sound words. So what would be a pattern of a sound word? It is a true teaching according to God's truth without any compromise, which only can be detected by the discerning heart. It can be only detected by the discerning heart. God used human instrument. God used a human instrument to communicate his eternal truth. As the Lord used Paul to communicate the pattern of the sound words to Timothy, God used his man and woman to communicate the same truth today. Let's go to Romans, keep your finger in the 2 Timothy, Romans 10:17, please. Some of you guys, you can just quote this because you know the word. 10:17. You ready? Are you guys awake?
Yeah.
So then the faith comes from hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Let me ask you this, okay? Has any of you received the salvation message directly from the lips of Jesus Christ? None out, nobody else? Anyone? None of us. We heard from another person by teaching through their sermons, or it can be somebody handing out the tract, like the invitation tract. Somebody give it to you, or maybe you are in a one-on-one setting, or you could be in massive crusade like a Billy Graham's crusade, and you got to hear the word of God, you got to know the salvation message. And that's why you came to Jesus Christ. God's salvation comes through someone's voice and someone's message. Now, next one is in faith and love. In faith and love. Faith and love describe how the truth to be held. Faith and love describe how truth to be held. We hold it in faith, truly believing it and applying it into our lives. At the same time, we must hold it in love, not in the proud arrogance or self-seeking superiority. Folks, seeking the truth in love should be the divine pattern. Let me say one more time. Seeking the truth in love should be divine pattern. How easy for us to become pugnacious in our desire to defend faith and become a witch hunter and thinking that we are the only one who hold the truth. Calvary Chapel of Sarita is not the only church teaching the truth in Green Valley and Sarita. There are many other churches teaching the truth. They're holding on to the truth of God. And they are doing the right thing. God bless them. However, another thing that we have to pay attention is love without faith in truth is a disaster waiting to happen. It's like a massive flood coming down and there is no bank to contain it. Love without faith in truth is like a massive flood without bank. Fifth thing I find is that from the dead good things which was committed to you. So what was the good thing God committed to you? Is it salvation? Yes. Is it family? Yes. Time? Of course. And gifts and talent God gave it to you? Yes. Education? That too. Are you being faithful with those things? Because God's going to require your stewardship. We live in the dead time where the faithfulness is only expected so long as it served our own interest. You get that? As long as it helps us, we will stick with it. As soon as it doesn't help us anymore, guess what? A lot of people desert what they've been hanging on to. That's what I'm saying. Being loyal means when you go through rough time, you stick with it. Just a small example, side story. During the time when the Steeler was doing well, before you could not find bumper sticker has a Steeler, Pittsburgh Steeler, correct? You have to drive all over the town, maybe all over the state, to find one bumper sticker that has a Pittsburgh Steelers on the back of their car. After they win the Super Bowl, what happened? You cannot close your eyes enough, fast enough to see another car with a bumper sticker, the Steelers. And the following year, they didn't do well. Guess what? All of a sudden, the next Super Bowl winner, the bumper sticker shows up. People jump from one to another. That's just a small example, small vignette. We need to be loyal to the Word of God. Being faithful to God means having the heart to do what is right, even when it seems to be crazy to do so. God is faithful with what we committed to Him. Will we be faithful with what He has committed with us? The last thing I find in verse 14 is a keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. It was the Holy Spirit who committed the truth to Timothy and he would help him to guard it. Apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are in darkness and when it comes to understanding the Word of God, we are completely helpless. It is He who teaches us and enables us to guard the truth and share with others. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. From the beginning, human history, Satan opposed the Word of God here. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, note this, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say that? No. He said that you can eat anything you want to eat except one fruit, one tree. But he put the doubt in the woman's heart, every tree. This was Satan's first recorded conversation with mankind. And he continued to ask the same question, making us to doubt the faithfulness of God. You with me? He always makes us doubt about the faithfulness of God. How many times He promised that He will be with us, He will not forsake us. Several times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. How do we feel when the things go haywire? We feel like we are all alone. And why do we worry? Are we going to pay the bill? Are we going to be able to eat next meal? What did God say? He will meet all our greed, right? Our needs, according to His glory. See, people have a doubt about God's faithfulness because that comes from Satan. When church or any other Christian organization goes liberal, it usually starts with a weakening of their leaders' conviction about the Word of God. You get that? Matthew chapter 26, 31, please. Matthew 26, 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, and for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Strike the shepherd, and he will be scattered. It's been made in prophecy in the Old Testament. The day pastor, listen please, the day pastor start to compromise the word of God from the pulpit, that is the day the congregation should kick that pastor out of the church. Okay? If the pastor start to compromise the word of God, that's the day the congregation should kick him out of the church. But what do? Because the pastor talks about the something itching area, something they would appeal to their carnal desire, they just follow that pastor blindly. Matthew 15, please. Matthew 15, 14. Jesus speaking is in red letter. Let them alone, they are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Isn't that true? Okay, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 this time. 'This you know, that all those are in Asia have turned away from me, among whom who are the Phygellus and Hermogenes, and the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very jealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord. In that day, you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus.'" Would you put up the map for me, please? There, thank you. Here's Rome. That's where the Apostle Paul is, and there is Greece. And this is Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And when in the Bible, New Testament says Asia, it's not the Far East Asia like, you know, the people from Korea and Japan. I have no idea what the Korean people are. And this is the Asia. This is the Asia where the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 through 3. It's all contained here. And here's the Mysia, Lydia, and Korea. And there is. And Phrygia. Try to pronounce all this thing. That's the area where the Apostle Paul was talking about Asia. And of course, Ephesus is the capital city of that area. We do not know the Phygellus and the Hermogenes were, who they were. But their name has been known as a deserter as long as the Bible exists. Aren't you glad the Bible is no longer being written? If it's being still written, your names and my names will end up there for other people to study. No, thank you. These two men are the example and great example of the deserter, and they are the one who didn't hold fast. apparently these are the fair weather friends of Paul who did not faithfully continue on with him when the time got rough. Apostle Paul named the two deserters, probably they're best known for, in order to stop the accusation. It is still common practice of the one who leave the church to make the slanderous attack against the pastors and leaders of the church to cover up their disgraceful conduct by inventing whatever accusation they can come up with. I know a few of them. It was certainly dark hours for Apostle Paul. But there was one man who dared to leave his home in Ephesus, came to Rome to assist Paul. His name is Onesiphorus. His name means a profit bearing. Truly, he was a profitable friend to Apostle Paul. Like Phygellus and Hermogenes, we don't know anything about this man, Onesiphorus. But one thing for sure, he was a real friend, encourager, an advocate and co-laborer in Jesus Christ to Paul. Let me add this here, and every pastor is grateful to those who work faithfully with him. And I myself am eternally grateful to the one, many of you in here, who assist me and pray for me daily, and work with me, and sometimes reprove me, as well as just being there when I'm down and out. I owe you great debt. At the same time, there are people who try to hurt. My wife Karen told me once, and they were out because the reason why she said it. And let me go back a little. The time I actually thought being pastor ain't worth going through all this trouble. And Karen reminds me, the people who try to hurt you are only a handful, but the rest of the congregation loves you. So with that, I continue. To me, you guys are my encourager. Remember when Moses' arms were tired, and Joshua was fighting against Moabite. His arms was getting tired. What did the two people do? Hur and Aaron came along the side and held his arms up. As long as Moses' arms were up in the air, Israelites were winning against the Moabites. That's what you guys are doing. In the first imprisonment in Rome, Apostle Paul was able to stay in the house. It wasn't like a house arrest. And he could have people come and go as they wish. But this time, he was end up in a dungeon, a Roman dungeon, in a pretty much hole under the ground. And guarded by the guard 24/7. Onesiphorus looked for him. Remember, Onesiphorus was looking for, in Roman's eye, is an enemy of the state. To us, he's a great apostle. But to Romans, he is nothing more than enemy of the state. Onesiphorus was risking his life to encourage, to assist Apostle Paul. When he finally met with him, he was there with the Apostle Paul. Jay Castle, some of you guys know him, the former president of Youth for Christ, said once, one of my goals in life is to wind up with the 8 men who are willing to carry one of my casket handles. Paul described Onesiphorus' ministry as a refreshment, like a breath of fresh air in the damp, cold, stuffy room. Or like a cool drink, fresh water in the middle of the scorching desert. Some of you guys don't understand what the scorching desert is, right? I remember this like yesterday. My daughter, Michelle, was small. And somehow she got owie. She was crying. and big tears rolling down from the big brown eyes. Her mommy held her close and talked gently and started to blow cool air on her awi. Pretty soon her cries subside. Her quivering lips turned to this big smile. What made a change? She was comforted by mom. She was encouraged by mom. And she knew she's loved. So let me ask you this. Do you remember the time when you were absolutely pushed down, shoved against the corner, and kicked around? And do you remember somebody who cared enough to come by, and somebody who dared to believe in you, and somebody who was not ashamed of being associated with you, and somebody who pulled you up, somebody who reached out and help you spiritually, physically, and financially? Do you remember that? I'm sure some of you know that. When is the last time you refreshed another Christian with your kind word, card, email, or just firm handshake and good hug? Looking at eyeball to eyeball saying, I love you, I'm here for you. Do you know that? When was the last time you did that? I have two applications and one challenge for you. Number one, faithfulness now is a preparation for the blessed service later. How we serve the Lord today will help determine our reward and ministry when He comes to establish His kingdom on earth. Second application, if Jesus cannot be our Lord all the time, He doesn't want to be our Lord at all. Being faithful to Him is important. Jesus doesn't want to be your Sunday morning Jesus only. Okay? He wants to be your Jesus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everyday Jesus. You cannot say, well, I did my thing, so He is off limit in my life. If that's the case, Jesus doesn't want to be your Lord. I have a challenge for you. Whom would God have you be vociferous to? Whom would God have you be vociferous to? Whom would God have you diligently seek out, not be ashamed of, and refresh? Or you might say, hey, Pastor, I'm still going through a tough time. I'm between the rock and the hard place. Let me say this to you. If you're thinking that way, don't wait for until the time you are fine. You start to refresh other people right now. Stop moving. Come on. Don't fold the things away. Don't put the things away. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying. Are you paying attention? If you are between the rock and hard place and you're going through difficulties, you start to encourage other people. You start to refresh other people. While you're doing that, guess what happened to you? You are the one who's going to be encouraged. You are the one who is going to be ministered by God to be encouraged. How does that work? That's the divine mathematics. Then non-believers never understand. Okay? Did you get that challenge? All right, let's stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast your truth in faith and love. And let us be the one who encourage others like Onesiphorus did to Apostle Paul. Because you always encourage us. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You